This is the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet and why. I'm Angelique Medina, and I'm joined by my co-host, Archana Kesavan.
Hello, guys.
So this week, we are not going to be covering any major outage. We didn't really have one last week or one that really caught anyone's attention. But we do have an election coming up next week in the U.S., which is making news around the world, I'm sure. So we thought we'd take a closer look at some of the hosting of some of these election sites, voter registration sites, that sort of thing. Yeah. So we were looking at a dozen, well, actually 14 sites. We just picked some of the sites that are getting the most attention in terms of you know, their importance in terms of the election. So, let's dig into it.
We had some, you know, kind of to set the context before we start looking at, shares here. This is something we've always been doing, you know, when there is an interesting event coming around, like in 2000 Eyes fashion, like just to see what's going on and then kind of monitor. So like Angelique was saying, we're looking at about 14, 15 state election sites, and we've been tracking them over a couple of weeks now, I think, actually a little bit more than that as well. And we saw some interesting trends in terms of how they are hosted, you know, what the architecture is. Do they have a CDN? Are they self-hosted or not? So there are a couple of nice differences there. We did see an outage in one of the site. And again, we're not tracking all sites. So, you know, it was just one thing that caught our attention, which was interesting. So we'll walk over that as well. And then we'll discuss some pros and cons of, you know, self-hosting versus not, and the impact of CDNs and so on. So let me go ahead and start sharing what we have here.
And, you know, we're going to look at a specific example here, but I think what was really interesting to us is just kind of like a takeaway was that at least I was fairly surprised that nearly all of the sites that we looked at are front-ended by a CDN. Yep. Now, that seems like that would be par for the course in terms of like any major kind of like modern application. Of course, it's fronted by a CDN. Yeah. But we've seen a lot of government sites that don't use one. And so it was surprising to me that almost all of them we looked at
exactly
are fronted.
No, exactly. And I know we had this conversation like early on, you know, in our podcast series where the unemployment website of New York had major issues. They actually had an outage for, you know, a significant point in time. Yeah. And we noticed that they were self-hosted, right? And that was a discussion we had and could clearly see where the packet drops were within their network and environment as well.
Yeah, so they were much more prone to congestion based on just fluctuations in usage. Whereas I think like New Jersey, which is, you know, borders New York, that particular state is like they were front-ended by a CDN and seemed like their performance was a little bit more even.
Yeah. So, you know, so in the same lens here, we're looking at Florida actually. And Florida clearly is, you know, front-ended by Cloudflare, as we can see here. So we're just looking at it from different points across the US.
Because now, as we know, most people who live in Florida are accessing the site from other states. But, yeah. No, actually, it is. There are a lot of folks who live in Florida part time. So
yeah, exactly.
It's partially true.
It is no, actually, it is. I know
a lot of New Yorkers. So, yeah, too. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, they are thinking of making use of their voting registration in Florida. So yeah. So apart from Florida, we noticed Arizona and Georgia were other examples too that was using Cloudflare as their CDN. We noticed this is where we're looking at Colorado, and we noticed Fastly as, you know, another provider. We obviously saw AWS CloudFront in there. We saw Incapsula, Akamai. Mm-hmm. So kind of like an all-around distribution of providers. No favoritism here in terms of which is the best CDN provider or not. And in terms of self-hosted, we saw a couple of specific sites. One was Iowa and the other one was Michigan, where we noticed that they were self-hosted. Like what we're looking at here is Iowa's registration website. There you go. You can see that they are self-hosted. Although for me, Angelique, like just looking at this, like what stands out is the lack of redundancy. When you're self-hosting, you saw
and what
that.
we mean by that is that we only noticed one service provider connected to them.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, one of the advantages of having a CDN is just that you're eliminating those single points of failure. You have a distributed edge, and that whole edge infrastructure is connected to a lot of different service providers. So if you are going to self-host, one would think that you would think about things like redundancy if one provider has an issue. Or, you know, and that issue could be physical, could be a routing issue, could be
fiber
cut. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. And we were just not seeing that.
Yeah, definitely. And this is, again, just a couple of sites we've been tracking, right? So it's not something universal across all self-hosted election sites. But that was definitely an interesting thing that we noticed. And we had a couple of outages, actually, that we saw as well.
Well, I mean, not a complete outage from the standpoint of the site being totally unavailable, but I would say that, like, just from the standpoint of how slow it was probably functionally unavailable and down.
Yep.
If you're taking almost like
30 seconds
to load a page, that doesn't sound very good.
Right. And this was specifically in Florida, the site related to Florida, where we saw this issue once in, you know, on October 23rd. It wasn't very long, you know, lived, just about half an hour around the afternoon, which is not terrible. And also East Coast, this is like, you know, 6:30, not too bad. Again, but these are not like, you know, enterprise used website. So from a time perspective, like time of day doesn't matter. You could be logging on at any point in time to register.
Yeah.
And again, very similar patterns here on the 14th of October as well, where, you know, it wasn't dead, but it was.
And about the same length of time too. Yeah, so it was about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened. I think the thing that's interesting about the incident on the 23rd is that it happened the day before their online voter registration closed. So that's kind of significant, just in terms of I'm sure they had an influx of folks that were trying to use the site and potentially could have experienced issues depending on what time of day they were trying to access.
Yep, definitely. That's true. Unclear what caused this on the 14th, although the patterns were very similar, but the 23rd could be related to that deadline on the 24th. So.
Well, what was interesting about both of these is that the network was not at fault. It just really did seem to be something that was happening at the application layer, because we know that there wasn't like an increase in packet loss or latency during that period of time. So, you know, there's something either in their web layer, maybe on the back end, they were having some issues, maybe there's some maintenance, who knows, but it wasn't network related from the standpoint of getting to the site.
Yep, definitely. That's an interesting observation as well. So yeah, so that's what we've been doing, just like, you know, taking a look at some of these sites to see what differences are there, you know, what's the impact of the election coming close by. And the other thing with all CDNs is also that, you know, it offers a layer of protection and there is an added layer of security from a, you know, DDoS perspective, right? Like this is in relation to like sites that you self-host versus not. It is possible that you do have a DDoS mitigation vendor in place, but with the CDN, you know, if there is kind of a burst of traffic that comes in, they have the resource and the infrastructure to kind of, you know, assimilate that. So that's definitely an advantage with respect to using a CDN as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So may not be in place to create, you know, for better performance all the time, because a lot of the users are probably going to be fairly close to where the site itself is hosted or all of the data, because it's going to be like state users for the most part. So that's probably not like the biggest benefit, but to your point, the elasticity, being able to like scale based on spikes in usage, and then also the shielding of the site itself so that it kind of defrays the impact of potentially a DDoS and malicious traffic can get blocked and all that kind of stuff. It just makes it very easy. The other thing is that I think is interesting is that now that kind of like that period of registration is like now, I think in most states it's already closed. But there are a lot of folks that are doing things like tracking their ballots and looking for early voting sites and things like that. So they still are going to be utilized more than usual for the next week, at least.
Yeah, definitely.
So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think the other interesting thing that we noticed was, you know, while the direct link to a registration or a voter site was self-hosted, I think this was an example with Iowa. It was not that all of Iowa's state-related, you know, resources were self-hosted. You know, like for instance, the I believe it was the Secretary of State website. You could reach the election voting place from there, but that particular URL was front-ended by Encapsula, for example. So it's not that, you know. New York is another example too. We actually haven't checked New York's voter registration website if that's front-ended or not. That
might be something we could look at. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's. But to your point, I mean, it's kind of interesting that there's the architectural differences even within the same state, and you know, different services. They're kind of being all. In some cases hosted differently,
yeah.
Which makes me wonder kind of like, what is it the same kind of operational team that's like working on this, or these different teams that are not talking to each other?
You know, how an enterprise works too, from the perspective of cloud adoption, right? Like, you know, different groups might adopt different cloud providers, and they're not really like, either they are not, or they are talking, we don't know. But effectively, every organization in some form or fashion ends up becoming multi-cloud, even if, you know, your particular org service that you're, you know, operationally responsible for might be reliant on a single cloud. There could be that external dependence.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would also say that, like, unlike an enterprise, it's even more complex with government, because there's a lot of different state regulations that govern how you know, data is collected and used within each state. And so it may be that certain things can be front-ended or can be hosted within a cloud provider's infrastructure and network, but others can't.
Right.
Like a lot of the unemployment sites that we saw earlier in the year were not front-ended. And, there's some complexities there that we just, we may not be aware of that are determining which ones can and can't. So that might also account for the differences.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Anything else that we saw interesting? I'm trying to recollect, but I think that was it.
I think that's it. I mean, it might be interesting. At some point, we can also maybe even compare some of the differences with some of those larger states like New York and California versus those ones that we talked about, which are primarily either swing states or ones that are fairly important in terms of where an election falls. So we can maybe bring that up in another episode, and I would expect that they also have great kind of hosting, but you know, you never know. So
yeah, you never know.
With that, I think that's our show today.
Right. Yeah. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and again, follow us on Twitter. And always, if you have questions, feedback, anything that you'd like to see, guests you would like to see featured on the show, definitely send us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. And as always, you know where to claim your t-shirt, internetreport@thousandeyes.com. Send us your address, a t-shirt size, and we'll get that right over to you. Until then, have a good week.
Take care.